from your perspective on the Youth Select Committee, what would you say are the most pressing issues for young people on the Isle of Man that they're talking about right now?
So I've mainly gained these insights from talking to people and within the committee. We've kind of realised that housing's a very pressing issue, availability and cost. That was what we covered in our first kind of year. The report's in draft at the minute, and then it'll be published for everyone to read. And then kind of retaining young people on Ireland, and followed by that, post 16 and 18 opportunities.
And how do you think the island can retain young people?
Well, I don't think that we have a shortage of opportunities there or incentives, but I feel as if they're not maxed out to their capacity. So we've got so much potential with UCM, but we still have a short number of people choosing to go to UCM over going to traditional university. I also think there's a lot of room for apprenticeships over here, but again, I don't think that they are maxed to their potential.
At the moment, the National Insurance Holiday applies to students who are returning to the island. Is that enough of an incentive?
Well, I mean, even that in itself is in jeopardy at the minute, whether or not we're going to see that stay for a long time or if we're not. But that's definitely an incentive, and maybe looking at offering that, continuing to offering that instead of ending it to other potential students that didn't live here, to try and not only retain the current young people that we have, but trying to attract other young people from the UK. I think that and alone itself is not enough, because even if you do have that NI tax break, if you still have nowhere to live, if you still have nowhere you can independently live affordably or even save for a deposit, then there's not really much point in having that. Because if you can't live here, the job opportunities available to you aren't that great, then you're definitely not going to want to stay here. Some young people forget that there's an alternative to university, because within schools, university is something heavily praised, something that, you know, is kind of, you should be persuaded to go. But obviously, there are apprenticeships over here, and we do have skills shortages, especially with construction. But there's also different avenues, like becoming an entrepreneur, starting your own business. And I do think the government should be looking more at promoting young people trying to start their own businesses, because ultimately, if you do that, it's engaging with the community and the money goes straight into our local economy. But to start up your business anyway is quite difficult, because I think you're only allocated £6,000 to do that, and you have to have a yearly turnover within the first term. I don't remember exactly what it is, but what I'm saying is there are alternative opportunities, but they're just not fully, the system doesn't fully work. And I think the government need to look at trying to make sure that those systems are strong, and so that they can say, yes, we do have alternative provisions and they do work. And so by doing that, ultimately, we would be able to retain more people, because they'd feel as if they have enough opportunity here that they do not need to go elsewhere.
And do you feel as if young people's concerns are actually reflected in the political agenda?
Well, I think that the government are definitely doing a lot to try and have more youth involvement. I mean, the Child First policies come into force, and in the Youth Select Committee, we were actually able to give our opinion and we're asked to speak on it for the creation of it. But overall, I think it's quite challenging, because obviously we have an ageing population, demographics. There's quite a small proportion of young people, and so often it's easy for the needs to not be reflected in policy and more focused on older people.
Youth engagement in politics appears to be quite low. Many school children that we speak to have no idea who people like the Chief Minister are. Why do you think young people don't necessarily feel drawn to Manx politics?
Well, it really depends how much exposure that you've had within your life to not even Isle of Man politics, just global politics and current affairs in general. I think definitely one thing that we need to look at is trying to increase youth engagement, and that's not just being able to name your MHKs or knowing them, it's also being able to express and share your opinion on different things. I think one way that that could definitely be done is through schools. I mean, we're always told to register to vote, but if you don't really know anything about who your MHKs are, what kind of change they could make if you voted them in, even necessarily being registered for a vote is not enough.
And what sort of role do you think schools could play? Is it bringing the MHKs in?
Well, during PSHE, I don't think there's any formal structure or curriculum as what has to be taught within PSHE. So even within those, just being spoken to by teachers or even PowerPoints potentially prepared by any of the MHKs or people in government, that they could be taught to students, and the students would actually have the opportunity to go and speak to the MHKs, or even on like notice boards, told when their like surgeries are, when they can go and speak to them.
Which is interesting, because PSHE is typically meant to be to set people up and teach them some of the broader life skills, as per se, and politics. Everyone is affected by politics.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, the way we live our life is ultimately chosen by the people who govern us, and we do have the chance to influence that. I mean, in the last election, I'm pretty sure it was only like 45% of 16 to 17 year olds went to vote. That's still under the amount of adults that would vote, and so trying to change that for the next election to make it a lot more representative is definitely something that needs to be focused on.
And if you could design one policy or an initiative or a change at the way Manx politics functions in the next 12 months, hypothetically, to boost youth engagement, what would that look like?
I think quite simply to have a youth representative on any kind of board of any policy, so that they can kind of bring their insight into what their experiences are and have that engagement, because I think it's a lot more easier to speak to young people than it's made. When I've spoken to many politicians, they're like, well, at my age, I'm not really sure what someone your age would want. And it's like, well, really, we haven't been asked. And so if you had someone who was younger, even to some people who may be shy, that would be more approachable. And I think social media is quite underused. Obviously, we're in an age where a lot of things are you really use a lot of technology, good thing and a bad thing. But using social media to kind of say what our politicians are doing, not just monthly updates. I mean, that would be a thing, maybe do like a roundup of what's happened that month, but what politicians are doing, what you could get involved in terms of opportunities for careers, that being more publicised. There's definitely room for kind of marketing that.
Do you feel as if politicians take young people seriously when they do speak up?
I would say yes. I'm quite optimistic in that. But I think, unfortunately, sometimes it's taken the wrong way as criticism. I mean, I think sometimes I've faced, when speaking to politicians, that they've been quite defensive on some things, which is understandable because obviously they're very passionate about their jobs. And so you kind of questioning something might be misconstrued. But I think, ultimately, just having the willingness to listen and trying to see something from other people's perspective is a very important thing that sometimes is overlooked.
And when you and your peers on the Youth Select Committee, or even just your friends outside of the political sphere and the Tim Walter bubble, when you talk about the future of the Isle of Man, what sort of islands do you want to see built over the next decade?
Well, I think we have such opportunity to thrive, and I'd really hope to see that we're retaining a higher proportion of young people post-education, trying to retain graduates because we do have a skills shortage, and to see young people actually be able to get onto the first-time buyer's ladder. That's something that I do think is very important.
And it's probably only a matter of time before we start to see MHK candidates start to declare ahead of the 26th election. What advice would you give to any candidate standing that genuinely wants to connect with younger voters?
Well, I'd just like them to keep in mind that although we might be a smaller proportion than adult or elderly voters, it's still definitely a vote that counts. And just by going and speaking to people, trying to get themselves involved within the younger community to try and see what young people would like, including that in a potential manifesto or plans going forward, or even policies that you'd like to see introduced, trying to see how young people would fit into that and making that known.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.